Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Tell everyone out there in podcast world, I hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery Podcast. We're live here at the Service World Expo 2022 in Tampa, Florida. We're actually at the Sarah booth here, Mara in their chairs. And I have my good friend Jim Clark here on the show. And we're going to talk a little bit about some pain points that Jim's gone through. Jim recently exited his business. So there's people out there who are thinking about exiting their business, or maybe you want to do it in a couple of years. And so Jim is actually going to help people do that eventually. But today I want to talk to him a little bit about some of the pain points he went through with that, or even in the business in the beginning. But a huge shout out, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do it.
Yeah. So tell me how long, so for those who don't know you or where you're from, for how long you've been in business and your business background and everything. And you're Charleston, right?
Yeah, so I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, and essentially I work corporate. I was a sales engineer, mechanical engineer, and 2008 happened, and I had a business that I was growing, helping new construction builders avoid moisture mold situations.
Oh, okay. So you had that background in that mold remediation indoor air quality stuff.
Yes, and I'm also a board certified in indoor environmental consulting.
Oh, so yeah. Okay.
So fortunately, at that time, I was starting to get referred out by ear, nose, and throat doctors and allergists to go to people's homes and businesses and figure out what makes them sick. And so we designed a solution and put the solution together. And then 85% of the time, it was either related to the crawl space or the air conditioning system. And we would go try find a mechanical contractor to help, right?
Right.
And all they ever told me was, Daddy didn't do it that way. I don't understand why you're asking me to do these things.
Yeah.
And I would just reply and say, look, this is basic blocking and tackling for your industry. And all I'm trying to do is get these people off their allergy meds and help their life.
Right. Yeah.
And my wife got so frustrated hearing me talk about it. And she's like, well, if nobody's going to practice building science, your background's in air conditioning, just go buy somebody.
Yeah.
So I bought a small little company, this one guy who actually believed in the juice I was selling.
Yeah.
And he would test everything and he'd come back and say, son of a gun, that worked.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we had 5 people at that time. This is 2010. And I got as high as 93, and I was right around 77, basically 12 years later.
So, So how did that transition go when you purchased the company? And did you lose guys back then because you came on board? And, like, was there any type of scenario where, like, they didn't buy into what you were doing and they're like, we got to do something else?
So the first company I bought, there really wasn't any of that.
Okay.
I mean, it's just so small.
Between
3 people.
Gotcha.
And this is also during that recession.
So they're just happy to have a job.
Well, and banks weren't giving out any money.
Gotcha.
And so I was able to work a deal. Now, the second company I bought 2 years later, they had like 8 employees.
Yes, absolutely.
That's something that's really kind of important when you're buying small companies, is that depending on the economy and where it's at, they didn't choose to come work for you.
That's right. Yeah.
They just kind of came along because you bought the company.
They're along for the ride.
Right. Mm. So you really got to have a focus on employee retention and making sure they understand that as an owner, your number one job is to take care of your employees. And your number two job is to bring opportunity into the company. And I had to learn that the hard way. So I did lose, several people. I think I lost four out of the eight.
Yeah.
A couple of those that were lost weren't going to be a good fit for us.
Right.
But yeah, so that's kind of how that went.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've done a couple of interviews here so far, and all of the successful business owners, either ones that are acquiring businesses or the ones that are exiting, all of them had said almost the exact same thing you just said there. Like, number one is the employees, and then providing opportunity to the employees like that. And I think that we miss that sometimes. I mean, sure, that's high level. Like, what does that mean? Do we become the marketer, or do we hire the marketing company? Like, you know what I mean? So I guess run me through that process. Like when you, how did you figure that out, and how do you fix it? Like when you say you lost the four, but you may have lost some of the ones that you wanted, some weren't going to fit the culture, but how did you hit it that, like, how did you fix that? And
I think that, unfortunately, the industry is just with what I say, technicians who go out and they want to start a company.
Yes.
And they're qualified to be a technician, but they're not qualified to be an owner or a leader.
It's just like E-Myth. The E-Myth Revisited, and you got your technician, your manager, and your entrepreneur. And just because you're a great technician does not mean you're a great manager or entrepreneur. And it's very rare that you're all three. I mean,
yeah, that's exactly right. But, so what was the downfall of these technicians trying to run companies? And fundamentally, what was out there is you had people going to work and they're getting berated. They weren't appreciated. They were yelled at for what they did yesterday and then told to go do the job again today. Right. And the understanding in that industry is that that's normal.
Yeah.
And so they just
all the way through. I remember when I first started in the industry and I was the apprentice, or I was the ride along guy, and I could see people doing that. I had an amazing guy, mentor, he was like real patient with me, and he learned how I learned and was really, careful about that and explained to me so that I would understand. But I was watching other guys that, like, their apprentice had to clean the bands out, and they're like, purposely make it nasty. And it was just like brutally mean to these guys and just like throwing stuff at them and screaming at them. And I'm like, who would want to stay here for that nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. And so understanding that that's out there, my mentality was to be completely opposite. You got to have rules, and you got to have,
can't be a free for all,
but you can't start to build a culture unless they understand that you're willing to run through a wall for them.
Oh, good point.
And that then it reverts back and they'll run through a wall for you.
That's a great point. Yeah. So, but how do you do that though? Like, because I agree with that and I believe that wholeheartedly. Is that something that can happen fast, or do they have to see it over the period of a year of like you supporting them? Like, and when a customer calls in, and then my customer might be ridiculous and you support them, or is there a way that this can happen really fast? Like, and it just clicks a switch and
so it's by your actions.
Yeah.
Right. So the first part is you have to be a two part hug guy and a one part thug.
All right. I feel like I'm the exact opposite.
So you can't be the thug. You got to be more hug than thug. Right?
I'm not really a hugger.
But that's, it's not staying in your office with your head down trying to figure everything out. It's actually realizing that all they ever want is just a little bit of time from you. And that time could be 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 15 minutes. And so I would make sure that I would go out and I would have conversations with them, ask them about their family.
Okay. Show them that you care.
Show them I care. And when I talked to them about a project or a purpose, I defined it as, okay, look, we got Mrs. Jones, and there's two different ways this happens, right? It's 4:00. You're ready to go home.
Yeah.
I got one more call for you to run. So I say, Tersh, I need you to go down the street to Mrs. Jones' house. I need to get that air conditioning running. I need it done tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go.
It's like,
How do you feel?
Yeah.
All right. Now, if I did it another way, and I said, Tersh, Mrs. Jones called in. She's actually bringing her husband home from the hospital. He just had a respiratory issue, and she just, it's hot. And she really would like to have that air conditioning going tonight. Would you mind going and help them out for me?
Yeah. Well, see, what I hear there is the hero being adjusted there. So, like, in the first scenario, you were the hero to the client because you enforced the technician to go do the work, no matter if the technician wanted to do it or not. The second example you gave, the technician is the hero of the day because they're going to save it all. And so then making them the hero of the story gets their buy-in on it.
Right. And so it becomes a thing of where the first one, I tell you what to do.
Yeah.
That's a task.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The second one, we're on a mission, you know, right? And then you're texting me after the call and you're letting me know how we did it.
Yeah.
You know, when the review comes in, you know, we're sending an email out to everybody in the company to show that you were appreciated. Because I think that, you know, what we do, it's not glamorous, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's not a lot of, and there's some people that don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you could be on a job and with someone who's just all over you, looking over your shoulder and really not treating you real well. And then you get a ding on your phone and you look and you got an email from the office and it says your teammate just got a kudos for being amazing. My personal feeling was that when you saw that, it picked you up and you said, you know, the next job is not going to be as bad as this one. Let me get this one done and get out of here.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I love to, we have all had that call. We've all run that call and it's not fun. Anytime that I've ever been in that scenario, I really like to challenge myself, like, let's just kill them with kindness and see if we can and just make them love me, even though they just are really just an ordinary person.
Yeah. So back to your question about how do we build it? You build it over time. You build it over your actions and how you interact with them. But you also build it with how you go to market to the client. Are you serving them at the highest levels? Are you getting them on a mission to go with you? And then you start to see a culture shift where, you know, everybody's thinking the same way. They got integrity. They're proud of their job.
Yeah.
You know, and then you start getting a reputation as a place people want to come work.
And then, that's a good point. And then, then across all the platforms, and you and I have heard people talk about going to your clients if you're hiring and see if they know anybody. And then your clients are more likely to share that. And because they know or perceive the culture to be one of, like, you really care about the technicians and everything.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. How, if you could give a time frame, what would you say? And I know it's different for everyone, especially if they're consistent or not consistent with it, but, like, from the time, like, say you have it where it's just really not a great situation, and maybe let's say you have 2 or 3 texts, 4 texts. How long of a time frame would you say it would probably take to turn around?
Well, it kind of depends on how much thug you've been, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that too.
So, you know,
they might look at you and be like, Tersh, you all right? Are you got some bad results from the doctor or something? Like, why are you being nice all of a sudden?
Right. You know, and I would say for me, it was going through a class by Dr. Stephen Covey and his 7 habits of highly effective people.
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I said, okay, why can I not apply that in business? And so if you ever want to have a reboot in your business, the best thing to do is come clean and die on the sword. And so I got the guys in the room and I said, look, I got to tell you something. I failed you. And I was failing me, but the good news is that I've got a way that will help us as we move forward. But that person that failed you is gone. And we're going to move forward and, you know, we're going to.
Do you find that they held you accountable when you did that? Or was it like, all right, let's see if this is really going to be the case?
Well, of course, their immediate reaction is, well, first they're like, you did what?
Yeah, right.
You're wrong, right?
Yeah.
Because the second part of that conversation is I failed you is, and you tell them how it's going to be better. But then you open it up. You have to open it up and say, look, you know, we're grown-ass adults here. We're having a conversation. If there's something I'm doing and you think I need to do better at or change, now's the time to tell.
Yeah.
And I'm opening up for in front of everybody. This is not something we leave this meeting and have a meeting after the meeting. And,
right.
And you say,
trash can talk.
No, this is not what that is.
Yeah.
And so when you have that kind of reset, now it's totally up to you as the leader and the owner to make sure that you're executing on that. It won't scare them. They know what's coming. They just don't know if they believe you're going to make it happen.
Actually do it. Yeah, you're going to follow through with it. That's a good point. That's a really good point. Now, once you did that, the people that were on board, how long did they stay? I mean, did you experience any kind of the turnover? Like, because like there's some people that with one of my companies, like once I changed that, it stayed. I mean, they're still there from 2012, 13. But then there's some people that I feel like, I don't know, they're just not in it for the long haul. And I think I almost feel like I just have to be okay with that. Like
you do have to be okay with it,
yeah.
You know, and really what we're talking about is it gets this whole culture thing, how you do your business, how you drive the business, how you make yourself attractable for other employees as well as clients. Because
yeah.
This business that we're talking about leads to referrals. And because if you want a business where you're totally number one focus is taking care of the employees, you know, and as an owner, that was what my job was.
Yeah.
And so I made sure they were appreciated, that they had opportunity for advancement, that we put them through education. I paid for it. I made sure that we were active and knowing we wanted to know about their family,
uh-huh.
You know, and what happens when people do that is they go out and they deliver incredible, you know, wow service.
What?
And then the clients are talking about us over dinner and
yeah.
They're referring us.
So tell me this. So I've had people that I've hired and maybe this is a preconceived notion and I don't know, but they never worked anywhere where it was bad. And when they came on board, it was really good. And then they were like, I think it might be greener somewhere else. But they've never had a bad experience. But then I have the other guys that have had bad experiences, and they're like, you're going to regret it if you leave.
Yeah. So I think that's a good point, right?
Yes.
And yeah. What I would, there are a few things there. So every time you bring on somebody, it's a time, an opportunity to change your culture. It's an opportunity to change the culture to the way you want it to be.
Yeah, because they're new and fresh. And that,
right.
That makes sense. Yes.
And you get new people in. And chances are those new people coming in, not all of them, most of them have had bad experiences working for somebody else.
True.
Now, those that have had bad experiences, once they've been in your organization for a few months, they're like, man,
yeah.
This is amazing.
Right.
And then
they're advocates.
Advocate is a great word, because now what you do as a leader is you're in a meeting. You could be doing a tech meeting, or you could be doing, you know, we used to do objection meetings. And, you know, at an important time in the meeting, I would just pause and I'd be like, hey, TJ, tell me what it was like
over at
X company. He's like, man, it's so easy here. You know, you take care of this and I don't have anybody micromanaging me. And I've had nobody ever talk about my family, you know, and they just go on a rant, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other part is that you call them out when they've done a good job as an example in front of everybody else. So, you know, that job you did yesterday, you know, that was amazing. Tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Tell us how it went down. You know, because that lady's already called in two times raving about
it. And then that story, like they're repeating that story and sharing it with everyone else and giving details. And maybe they're sharing things that you didn't even realize was happening also. That's another nugget in
right.
there.
And so it takes a little time,
yeah.
But once all these things are starting to work together, you got guys that are actually making a bond to protect you, to protect the company, to protect each other.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best things I ever did, and I didn't do a lot of it. I wanted to do more.
Yeah.
I would write a personal letter to a technician's family.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd find out the daughter's name. She may be like 12 years old.
Right, right.
You know, and I would write a letter about how amazing her father is.
Oh, yeah.
What he did at work and how he served and who he helped. And, you know, because the kids, they don't get to see how their dad is, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
All they get to see is when he comes home and he's tired and out. You know?
Grumpy.
And maybe a little grumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I send the letter. I address it to the daughter. And,
that's cool.
You know, she opens it up. And then, you know, the next week I got this grown-ass man hugging me.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's just, you know, there's things that like that that you can do that can really affect culture and drive cohesion. And then I would say as you grow, you have to plan and have a retention budget. And you got to plan something every month that you're doing to help remind you to not stop doing this.
Yeah. So that was actually going to be my next question. And that is, do you come to a point to where you're too big to be able to do that? Or is it like you just have to make sure that somebody's doing it?
Yeah. So, you know, you want to make sure you never go away from it, right? And so there are two things about that. One, there's a retention budget. You set out the plan for the year on what you're going to do each month. And that's a minimum. That has to happen. And you get
what percentage would you say something like that is?
It doesn't have to be a lot.
Okay.
So what I'm talking about is it may be, you know, I had a massage therapist come in the office.
We did the same thing.
You know, one day a month.
Yeah.
You know, and then that was the retention. You know,
that's a good thing.
We do a family fun day. It could be when it gets in the spring and fall, you know, we may be doing hamburgers or something on a Friday or, you know, and it doesn't always have to be. No, we're not talking about expensive stuff.
Like crazy things and renting out a whole place and do it. Yeah. You
know, and then there was always, if we hit our numbers on the month, across the board, you know, we were bringing in pizza for the office and
I got a friend of mine that he does, if they meet the budget the next month or the first Friday of the following month, he like does a steak grill out on that Friday afternoon. And like everybody just comes by the shop, like all the technicians come by the shop and the office people.
Right. So, I mean, I think you got to have a budget, you got to have it planned, and then you just give it to somebody to execute it. And then you just check on it.
Take ownership of it.
Right. Now, personally, what you've got to do is, you know, the hardest thing we do as business owners and leaders is be able to control the one thing that we have is the most valuable thing that we have, and that's our time.
Time, yes.
And so you've got to be able to block out times during the day. And these are absolute. You can't bother me when I'm in this time, right? So for me, that time was like between 10 and 12, you know, every day. You could not bother me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could text me if the building was on fire. But outside of that, you weren't doing anything.
Right, right.
And then I made it that my next moment before going in there and after that was to walk around the office.
Just check on everybody.
Talk to people, spend a little time. And it just has to be part of your
ritual.
How
do you do that as you grow? How do you do that with technicians? Especially technicians, if they're not coming into the office every single morning or, you know.
Yep. So our guys came every Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay. And that's how you.
And so I would make sure that either me or the operational director was there. And you're there early and you're out there in the parking lot just shooting the shit with them.
Yeah.
You know, you're just spending.
It's crazy
spending time.
How much a 15-minute conversation of just shooting the breeze. And then they're like, you can just see it pick people up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's cool.
Matt, we have talked about so much stuff here. I know you have some stuff going on in the future, and this episode actually will be released after you actually do this. You want to share a little bit about that if somebody's interested there?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm super blessed and to have grown a great company and sell at a ridiculous multiple. But God gave me the gift of the assets of the skill sets that I have and the money to be a steward over. And so what I want to do is to help other contractors that are looking to exit in the next 3 to 5 years and just be a business strategist for them one-on-one and help them be able to exit at the highest level that they can.
Yeah.
And just be able to serve in that capacity.
Okay. So if that's you, if you're listening or watching this and you are thinking about it, you're considering it, make sure you reach out to Jim. I will put his info in the show notes to make sure it's the most up-to-date information, and reach out to Jim or reach out to me and I'll get you connected with Jim.
Yeah. So the company's name is Blue Diamond Consultants, and you rated it well.
Cool, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Hey there, listener. This is Tersh with Service Business Mastery Podcast. Check out more information on Company Cam and some of the great features that they offer.
Are you an HVAC? Looking to save an hour a day every day? Are you looking for the latest tool to help your business scale? Well, we have the tool.
You maybe couldn't tell, but I'm no HVAC tech. And the thought of telling a pilot light from a gas valve has me sweating bullets. Hi, I'm Jordan, and I work at Company Cam. I may not have the tools to fix a furnace, but I do have the tool for your photo documentation needs. See what Company Cam can do for you.
Keep all your different project photos organized by date and location while using annotations and comments to keep workflows clear, all from your phone. Check it out today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.